Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show. What's amazing is you made that sound without any beer can.
Exactly.
You are a master Foley artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you use to do that? A comb, a piece of parchment paper, and a kitten.
I thought it was when you painted outfits on Eddie Murphy. An Axel Foley artist.
I got it.
Yeah. Beverly Hills Cop 1 through 9.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
This is episode number 48 of the internet comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
I don't know about you, but my name is Cole.
And I am also Chris.
You're also Chris.
Yes.
I said my name was Cole. Also, it doesn't make any sense in that context, Chris.
No, thank
You're
you.
You're wasting all of my energy on semantics.
Yep. I'm starting early wearing you down.
just round off the corners until I appeal to the masses. Better get started. It'll take a while.
Was there a show called Square Pegs?
Was there? I'm not sure.
No,
there
was Silver Spoons. It was Round Holes.
It was Silver Spoons and Round Holes. You know, I'm always a little bit upset whenever I go to Webster.com and I don't see Emmanuel Lewis. I just wish that brand would have more power these days, but...
What you talking about?
The wrong show. Hey, Chris, do you have a story for me?
Yeah. Marnie Kotak is a pregnant New York performance artist. She's planning to have her baby in an art gallery in front of an audience as part of a piece examining childbirth called The Birth of Baby X.
Tell me that's his name.
I don't know. Although January Jones did have a baby that she named Xander.
That's the worst name, Xander. I want to punch kids.
Xander. It was
Xander.
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 Yes.
Anders is a cool name. I like that.
It was illegitimately conceived on the set of X-Men. Look it up.
Was it really?
Really?
She was an X-Men?
Huh? No, she was on the set.
Oh, she was. What was she doing there?
Testing campers.
Okay.
Anyway.
No, but tell me that, like, that is his name. Hello, I'm going to be your tour guide today here at Universal Studios.
My name is Baby X.
My name is Baby X. Okay, anyway. Was there more to the story?
There could be a basketball player named Dr. J. There could be a Baby X.
Is that a person?
There used to be.
Dr. J?
Yeah. Julius Erving.
Really?
Dr. J.
But that's not his given name.
Hmm?
That's not his given name, unless he Ochocinco'd it.
No, he did not.
He didn't know Chesapeake?
Yeah, wow. That's a great job.
What?
That you lived in Cincinnati when there was no way you could avoid that, and so you learned sports by just...
Chris.
In the osmosis.
Chris, broken clocks. Broken clocks.
Neato.
Neat-o.
Marnie says, I hope that people will see that human life itself is the most profound work of art, and that, therefore, giving birth, the greatest expression of life, is the highest form of art. Marnie is also known for stage reenactments of her own birth, attending her grandfather's funeral, and losing her virginity in a blue Plymouth.
What?
Yes.
I lost my virginity on a Siemens mattress. What?
I have no idea.
Why is that notable?
The Blue Plymouth?
Was it part of an ad campaign?
No.
That was weird, right? That was back like Andy Warhol directed that one.
I think Dodge tried that. They were going to hide a virgin in one of their new cars in three places in the United States.
I won the golden ticket.
Yeah.
No, I'm picking up what she's putting down. You know, it's a beautiful and horrifying process.
Geocaching sex slaves.
Where are my topographical maps? We need to get out there. See, but like, does she think that she's the first person to do this, though? Because there are operating theaters, right?
That was the point, is that, come on, performance artists. Come on.
Get with it. You're just retreading old ground. You're rehashing old baby.
Yeah. And she's locking herself up in this birthing room that she's created of a theater 5 weeks before the baby's due.
No, she's doing it actually out in public. She has rented out the glass cube above the Fifth Avenue Mac store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's her own little baby booth.
Steve Jobs is rolling over in his rocket capsule.
Oh man, that made me happy. Actually, the idea of him being sent out to space. That's nice. I like that. He wasn't meant for this world.
No.
Speaking of women who are showing everything for a cause,
mm-hmm.
can I tell you a story that was recommended to us?
Yeah,
by a listener who prefers to go by his online internet handle, Docalopagus.
He does prefer that.
He does prefer that. He does not wish to have his real name revealed.
All right.
But hey, you know, we're going to allow it.
Yeah.
We're nothing if not accommodating Dalky.
Thank you, Dolphinsaurus.
Thank you, Dolphinsaurus. In response to feedback on some of their racier ad campaigns, PETA has pulled out all of the stops. The animal rights group has started an all-vegan porn site. The site will have enough hot action to qualify for the .xxx domain, but will also feature graphic images of tortured animals to get their message across.
I think this already exists.
Well, they're working on it. I mean, they probably got a prototype somewhere. These things don't just spring forth out of nowhere. Somebody, you know, dedicated teams work very hard on putting up the back end, the front end.
I guess.
Thought you were working to something there.
No, I'm not. There's the one domain name I've registered.
What?
That kind of has this on it.
Well, what's the domain name?
It's paganpussy.evil.
See, this seems to be working at cross purposes to their... To their ends, because all that I can think of with this is, like, you know, I go to this site for about, you know, 3 to 6 months. Then the next time I go get some McNuggets, I'm just rock hard. Well, more rock hard than usual when faced with the prospect of McNuggets. But
oh my God.
What?
I was just thinking about playing a game where you drop your nuggets onto your rock hard dick and hoping that they diving board into the sauce.
That is a barely reworked Dane Cook joke, but I'll allow it.
What?
The cashew cannon?
I don't know what that is.
Where he puts cashews on the end of his dick and launches them into his mouth?
No, that was Louis C.K.'s.
So, pita porn.
I guess. Sure.
Chris, I'm a pedophile.
Thanks, Dolph. All right? Thanks, Dolph Lundgren Juice. What was the guy's name?
Dolph Lundgren?
What is
it? From Predator?
No, the guy that submitted the story.
I already threw the index card away. Dolkalophagus?
I'm sure he feels good about that.
Yes.
I already played him.
Thank you, Dolph Lundgren. Thank you for that.
Can I tell you a story, Cole?
I wish you would.
After a deputy asked Matthew Faulkner for his identification, the Palm City man started to take out a taco. When another deputy noted the request wasn't for a taco, the booze-smelling Faulkner shrugged and laughed again and started to take a taco out of the bag while in the driver's seat of a parked pickup at Taco Bell. Deputies asked Matthew if he knew that he'd fallen asleep with his foot on the gas pedal. And he stated that he did not know. Faulkner was told to step out of the vehicle. He put down his taco, and the taco bag, and deputies noticed the pickup's engine was on fire. Fire extinguishers were used to squelch the small blaze. Faulkner is quoted as saying that he imbibed a beer. One note tab, blazingly sauced.
Sir, get back in the car. Sir, put the taco down. Sir, your ID's inside of the taco. That is a very creatively designed wallet.
Very nice taco wallet.
Taco. See, there are plenty of places that this fanciful scenario could go. I mean, like the money could be the lettuce, right? Or the cheddar. Aw. I'm pointing at you. I'm asking you to pick this absurd situation up and throw back. What else could you throw something at me? Let's get a rap session going here.
I don't know.
Taco wallet.
It seems like a product.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get it out there. It's already folded.
We need an industrial designer. It's already folded.
It's already folded.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's edible if you go off the road and down into a ravine and you need sustenance.
Now, is there maybe some sort of way that we could do like a food kind of like accessory thing where you have like a pita coin purse?
We already talked about pita. They're doing
no,
corn
like
now.
The bread.
Like like pita. Okay.
Like a pita pocket.
Gotcha. Yeah, like a pita pocket. Yeah, yeah, no, like a hot pocket for coins.
No.
A hot pita.
Not even.
No. Okay. Mm-hmm. Damn it. No, I'm not opposed to that.
That doesn't work.
Damn it. A soda-powered car. Chris, I have two stories that are related. Can I tell you them?
That looks like a lot of words.
Well, it's big font. You see. My index cards, so it's mostly like two words.
Okay.
I don't read good.
Good.
Residents of a West Pennsylvania town are baffled after a 20-foot-long steel bridge disappeared. No, Chris, this is not the work of some modern-day Houdini. It was likely stolen by thieves with blowtorches and sold for scrap, where it likely would have been worth about $100,000. Oh. Its disappearance wasn't noticed or reported for 10 days. You know, one time I was driving to a show choir performance at a church during holiday time in high school, and I was following MapQuest directions, and I came upon a road that dead-ended into a creek. I thought, damn it, MapQuest, why aren't Google Maps here? Because you're so much better, Google Maps. But no, looking back now, I erroneously maligned the reputation of MapQuest when indeed there were some unscrupulous scrapteers who were just taking metal away. They took that bridge, Chris. They done took it. It's gone forever. What's this community to do? This island community in the middle of Pennsylvania, they're done for. They have no way to get food in or out. All for meth money.
So the kids stole $100,000 worth of bridge.
Worth of bridge, yes.
Well, good on them.
Yeah.
Way to go.
It's industrious, Chris. That's the American dream. You see something and you take it.
All to help their dad's business. He makes bridge out signs.
Can I tell you another story? A similar story?
Yeah.
In the same vein, the city of Chicago is facing an epidemic of sabotaged fire hydrants. Chris, thieves are taking the tops off of the life-saving devices and stealing the brass ring that's used to connect fire engines to the water system. The rings go for $15 a pop at scrapyards, and whole blocks have been found to be stripped. Chris, we've reached a point in this country where the things that things are made of are more valuable than the things themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Methamphetamine is a hell of a drug.
It's awesome.
I love it.
It's good TV.
Gets a nice rip roaring, nice rip roaring night of dancing with the fellas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the ladies. Wait a minute. Sorry about
fellas,
that.
Ladies, fellas.
ladies, and fellas. Let's go steal. That's people make a living that way, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, just like you leave stuff unguarded for a second. They'll take the catalytic converter,
converter out of your car.
And they'll sell it because it has platinum and rhodium in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rhodium, the most the most yeehawest of metals. I don't know how I know what metals
are. What does that do?
What?
What is that?
I've got no idea. You put them in cars, so like for emission standards, like it takes smog and it turns in, and like it takes away some of the still like the bite out of it. It neutralizes.
Does it turn it into catalytium, or does it turn? Or does it?
Yeah, it does. It turns it into
catalytium.
It turns it into inert catalytium, which is then further inertified by the rhodium,
which is a good thing.
That's a good thing because it feeds the plants
and
it fertilizes the plants.
They use it to make kettle chips.
Yeah, they use it to make kettle chips. Yeah, the thick ones, the really thick,
the really thick ones.
The thicker the better. Yeah. I basically want a baked potato in a bag, Chris.
Yeah, I basically potatoes. Just want fried peels.
Chris, tell me a story.
Cool, man. A churchgoer ripped out his own eyeballs as a priest gave.
Start it over. Do it real this time. You don't open a story like that. You don't open a story like that.
Why?
That's what happened.
What?
Okay, do it. Tell me. Okay, tell me some of the story.
I'm going to read it as I have it written.
Okay.
All right. Sans criticism. A churchgoer ripped out his eyeballs as a priest gave Sunday Mass. British-born Aldo Bianchini, 46, stood up calmly and tore them out with his bare hands, then collapsed in a pool of blood. His mother tried to help him as the priest called for help, but surgeons were unable to save his sight. He told doctors in the Viareggio, Italy, hospital that he heard voices telling him to rip out his eyes. Dr. Gino Barbacci said, to do that requires superhuman strength. Priest Lorenzo Tanginelli, okay, Italian-y?
Okay.
Yeah. Continued his service after the horror. And is quoted as saying, I've never seen so much blood.
Get it? I've never seen.
Yeah.
And neither did he.
No.
Neither did the man.
One note tab, not meatballs.
That's a spicy eye of ball.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bosh. I mean, that's horrifying. Like, if I saw that, I'd never forget it. That's like something out of a fucking Jacob's Ladder, you know?
Stood up and ripped his eyes out.
They just, you know, that's the natural response. did they mention in the article at large if he had a history of hysteria of that nature? Did he hear voices a lot?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
But he wears this heart on his sleeve and has a history of taking off his shirt.
Are you quoting Ben Folds lyrics to me?
No.
Okay.
That is Bare Naked Ladies.
Not far off.
Yeah.
And for my next trick.
I've never seen so much blood.
But he can. That's metal as fuck. He continued the service.
Yeah, there was another guy. I don't know if you have this story or not, but there was a guy that tried to commit suicide by cutting his own throat with a chainsaw.
These people are operating on a different plane of existence, Chris.
There was some hedge fund manager that slit his own throat this week.
How so?
He just slit his own throat.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems like a really shitty way to do it.
Why?
It just does. But most of maybe because I'm a coward, but most of those frighten me. I think if I was going to do it, I'd do it in a way that would be mentioned on this show.
He didn't like disembowel himself. He didn't cut from gut to nut.
Gut to nut isn't that far. From stem to stern. There we go. He field dressed himself like a deer.
He knocked the bottom out.
That's not real. That's not real at all, Chris. Speaking of a man who took his own life in a spectacular fashion, mm-hmm. Can I tell you about a man who saved his own life in a spectacular fashion?
Mm-hmm.
Fashion? I said faction.
That's part of a spectacular faction.
Yeah. Well, I would say the NYPD is a spectacular faction, Chris.
It is LGBT month.
A police officer, nay, a sergeant, managed to save his own life by jamming his finger into an assailant's gun. Oh, wait. See, when I read the first, you know, like the lead for this, when they say that, they build an image in your head. You think of Bugs Bunny with Elmer Fudd with his, you know, with his blunderbuss thing there. You know, like, oh, I'm going to get you. And then, you know, Bugs Bunny puts his finger into the barrel of the gun. And then Elmer Fudd fires. And then the barrel splits down like a banana peel, right? Mm-hmm. That's the image that you get.
That's not what happened.
That's not what happened at all. It's not, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Most guns are built stronger now. Elmer Fudd was working with outdated technology. This happened at a routine traffic stop where a perp. Notice the terminology there. I'm taking my police exam next week. Nobody else will hire me. Pulled a .38 revolver on the officer, stuck it in his gut, and said, yeah, cop on, yeah. The officer quickly then jammed his ring finger between the hammer and the cylinder. The trigger was pulled so many times that it broke the sergeant's finger, but it spared his life.
And that's quick thinking.
That is quick thinking. Like, oh, boy, there you go. Good man.
Good. Yeah. Well done.
Crack training. You're done it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Saved his life.
What's funny about that?
What's funny about that
You're
is...
You're sweating profusely.
I know, right? I'm nervous. I'm very nervous. It's hot as hell in here. Are you pulling hairs out of your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Sorry, I should have shaved. No. What's funny about that is the initial image, the Elmer Fudd banana barrel.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Good. Good for him. Well, you seem thoroughly unimpressed with that, so you tell me a story that'll make me laugh.
A Turkish news agency says suspected smugglers set loose a swarm of bees on 15 police officers searching for contraband cigarettes hidden among a truckload of hives. The state-run Antolia agency says police, acting on a tip, stopped the truck in the city in the southern city of Adana on Sunday. The alleged smugglers then set some of the bees free to prevent police from searching the vehicle. There was no information on the officer's condition. The agency said the truck was later searched by officers in beekeeping gear who seized some 32,500 packs of smuggled cigarettes.
Somebody tried the Tommy Boy defense?
I guess so. But these are real bees.
Yeah, real. I don't know. I'm allergic to bees. Yeah, that's...
They're fake.
They're fake. They're not
these
real.
These are real.
But these were very real.
These were real. And I thought it was a good idea.
No, it was ingenious.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're for first, you commit to the illusion, right? Oh, what are we doing? We're just driving across country with a bunch of bees, bringing delicious honey to the women and children of our industrious town.
Yeah.
And then... what do you do? It's not just a fake. It's not just a facade. It's not just an illusion. No. There's actual bees in there. But those bees don't just serve a purpose. They could have just put a tape recorder in there with bzzz.
Are you doing that to fucking annoy me?
Yeah.
They could have just trying to buy time to think of more than two synonyms for fake.
I just wanted to see how long I could do it.
Okay.
No, they committed to it.
That's funny because you picture it.
You picture it. But it breaks down when you forget, when you neglect to realize that people have been, you know, wrangling bees for years and years. So,
yeah.
You know, like, it's pretty easy to get gear that'll keep you, you know, keep bees away from you.
It pissed off these bumbling coppers.
Speaking of our furry friends, bees are furry. Hence the reference. Some people are furry, too. Nestle is making commercial history by creating an ad campaign specifically for dogs. The advertisements for dog food will run in Switzerland, where they feature high-pitched tones that only dogs can hear. Think like a dog whistle. They are designed to get the attention of both pet and pet owner. Hey, what's over there? What's over there, buddy? What's over there? Dog food? What do you like? What do you like on the screen? Oh.
Poop on the floor. We're selling carpet cleaner. They're already using tools. Why are we trying to recruit them to make us buy things?
Exactly. They'll overtake us within like 2 years. We're done. The writing's on the wall. Animals using tools to screw us.
Yeah.
We're done. Why are we feeding them? Why are we feeding these dogs?
I don't know, but the animal kingdom needs to police itself and think about the consequences of this. There needs to be a warning issued by the Sturgeon General.
Holy mackerel.
Gee whiz.
A whiz. Wizards are not animals. Okay?
Williker. There's a Williker.
Oh, okay.
I got bit by a Williker. Gee Williker.
Okay. Chris, tell me a story.
This one comes from Elyria, Ohio, where a woman has pleaded no contest and was found guilty of assault and sentenced to 15 days in jail. The woman is being punished for striking a 71-year-old Walmart greeter with a cart and then choking him, all because the greeter asked to see her receipt before leaving the supercenter. Following the incident, the woman bragged to her daughter that she had just choked the cracker.
Strangely, this woman was white.
Yeah. No, she was very, very not white.
That's a bad policy, checking receipts and stuff. That's
why?
Bad. Because it technically constitutes false imprisonment.
No, it doesn't.
You can't leave until you present proof that you can leave here.
What about you can't get in unless you provide proof that you should be in?
No.
Why not?
It's a honeypot. It's like a fly trap. They can't get out. What's that?
What if it's raining? What if there's lightning?
Maybe they should have thought
is that attempted murder? Maybe they didn't let you come inside.
Maybe they should have brought an umbrella.
Live with that many laws?
But I'm just saying it's a bad policy. Don't check my receipt. It's stupid. It doesn't prevent theft. All it does is, you know, it's a police state, Chris. It's a police state except it's corporations. Read Snow Crash. Okay? It's all over the place. Anarcho-fascism, anarcho-capitalism. We're done. We're done here.
I watched Ski Patrol.
That's the sequel to Snow Crash, actually.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But enough about obscure science fiction.
I had no idea that's what we were talking about.
Chris, can we travel to a far-off land?
Mm-hmm.
A Canadian man Not that far off, but still pretty far off. I couldn't walk there. A Canadian man named Harold Hackett has, over the past 15 years, thrown about 200 bottles a week into the Atlantic Ocean. These bottles contain messages of friendship and a request for a response. Over the years, he has started pen pal relationships with people in far-off lands like Russia, Iceland, Holland, and even places like Africa and the Bahamas. He usually gets 150 Christmas cards, gifts, and other souvenirs a year in return. The most common response, Chris? Stop littering, dummy. We have Facebook now. Your magical, quaint means throwing some positive energy into the world. You're out.
Form of social networking.
You're done. You throw it out to the winds and you're done. Although it would be interesting to note where each one went to. You could probably make a killer tide chart.
Are you going to just go vomit?
Sorry.
Your belching is out of control. It's awful.
Sorry.
Now you're going to sip that beer and slam it on the table and foam's going to go everywhere. I'm about ready to vomit on you just from being so irritated with your noises.
I'm sorry. I'm a very musical person.
It's horrible.
I'm a musical person, Chris. You can't keep me down. Don't try it. Because Chris, I'm like Jell-O. I'll just slip between your fingers.
I'm glad you took yourself out of the game. That saves everybody 3 seconds of realizing you shouldn't be in it and sending you out.
You
can't win. Not unless you
can try to. You can try to keep me down, but you're not going to. Okay?
I'm not done with a list of shit that you need to fix yet. But I will be soon.
Hit it. Hit me with it.
No, I will be soon.
Hit me with it.
No, it's on my. I haven't started it yet.
You fired the opening salvo just there, didn't you?
What now?
You fired the opening salvo.
Wow, you gave me another thing to write down, too. The way you say open and salvo together.
Opening salvo?
Opening
harrah. Chris, tell me a story.
Why don't you foam that beer up? Come on.
Don't make do that?
Yeah, foam it. Oh, look at that.
I can't do it on I can't do it on command. It has to be magical. It has to be magical and spontaneous.
You're trying not to. Which proves you can fix it. Anyway. This is me. Cole took one of my stories. And so I got to read one of his. So this is Chris reading a note card. I guess. Alliteration. Text tension. Health professionals in Great Britain are alarmed by a shocking epidemic of text neck. A repetitive stress injury caused by spending too much time hunched over a smartphone or a tablet computer. This can cause permanent arthritic damage if left untreated. I guess what I'm trying to say, big word, is that there's a whole big wide world that's up here at eye level. And I'm going to smash your phone, or you're going to smash your phone by crashing into something if you don't look up at it. People looking down at their phone all the time has immediate consequences and long-term consequences.
I love listening to me. Chris, enunciation isn't a crime. I think you could benefit. Elocution, Chris. Clarity of response, of message.
Do you run a finishing school for little girls?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That explains the creepiness.
I love your impression of me. Do that more.
Which part?
Just the big word. The wide world. Text neck, Chris.
Text neck.
Text.
Her apple bottom jeans and the neck from the text.
It's getting so bad in some cases that it actually is more painful to hold their heads erect than, you know, have them hunched over, chimping away at their little at the little blocks, you know? Show you how it's done. That's how you throw an index card. Look at that. Went over the other table here in the basement where it all started, where the magic began.
It seems like just the other day that you were playing in a refrigerator box on this very basement floor.
That's right, wasn't I?
When did they deliver the refrigerator? Tuesday?
Yeah, it was just the other day, actually. I wore like a robot suit. I was pretending I was Mega Man.
Oh God!
Yeah. I remember we did that when we were little. I did. You were, you know, too old
whittling shivs
for magic. You're whittling shivs in juvie.
Yeah.
Practicing your icy cold glare. Give it to me, Chris. No, we did. It wasn't refrigerator boxes. Our grandpa, he worked for a medical supply company, so it was rascal scooter boxes.
Toilets.
He's crawling around in them boxes, yeah. Drawing on the outside with markers, making it my spaceship, stacking two of them on top of each other, having a two-story clubhouse, throwing some sheets over, making a fort with my Power Rangers action figures and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. All my fads, playing with the neighborhood friends in my box in the basement, unfinished, of course.
Yeah, it was a painted floor.
Painted floor.
Yeah. So that happened.
Moldy, moldy. Chris,
I'm staring at your last story.
At my last story, and then we're done. Relish it, because I'm going to murder you after it's finished. With is that your phone fascinating to you?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
It's getting me by.
I just want to make sure, okay? A morgue in Istanbul is prepared for anything. Their lockers are fitted with motion detectors that raise an alarm outside if somebody is buried alive. And the doors have release latches on the inside, just in case a mistake was made and their clients were, you know, just awaking from a coma or a long bout of unconsciousness. All of these measures are meant to appease ancient suspicions in Islamic countries about the perils of accidentally being buried alive. Is that a universal fear? Are you afraid of being buried alive?
Nah.
I'm going to ask you again in about 3 hours, and then you'll tell me differently.
Well, buried alive, like, is a crime, or like being buried alive?
I don't understand the distinction.
Am I declared dead, and then do they rip out my guts and fill me with fluids?
It's kind of impossible in the modern day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's part of a crime, sure.
If somebody
the entire crime, not just the being buried alive.
If somebody made you dig a hole, they put you in a box and then they put a bunch of dirt on top of the box. I've never been as afraid of that, which is strange because like I get a miniature panic attack when I go to a party and somebody parks behind me. My threshold for being upset is, you know,
I actually fear, that low. I actually fear getting my head stuck in a beanbag and breathing all those styrofoam balls more than that.
More than being parked in at a party. Mm-hmm. Then you have to like go around and say, hey, which one of you drives a silver Corolla? Because I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
I need to leave. Oh, man.
Yeah, who's driving this gray Nissan?
I mean, I can try and, you know, we can get a bunch of people together and pick your car up and move it over. But I don't want to have to do that because that's inconvenient. And I don't want to ask the Incredible Hulk to inconvenience himself because he has kind of a short fuse. So,
David Banner.
I've made it very clear, Chris, that I want my body to be obliterated. I don't want to be buried. That's not something I want. Just do a sky burial, man. Just put me up on some rocks and let some birds get me. If I wake up, you know, if I was alive, you know. Just I've made some friendly avian friends, okay? Want my body to be reduced to muck and poured down the sink. Don't put me in a box in the ground.
No.
That's just messed up.
I want to be buried. I want to be shown and buried in my birthday suit.
That is a snazzy suit, Chris.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. Yep. Has cupcakes embroidered on it.
I love the neckerchief.
Yeah? What's on the neckerchief?
What's that?
What's on the neckerchief?
It's just purple.
Okay. So it's a very stylish royal purple, very regal, very stately.
No, I'd it's say. Violet, violet.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So if you liked this program, you can go to duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids to find more episodes of our show. You can find a link to our iTunes listing where you can leave us a review or a rating. It's super easy, and I cannot tell you how much it means when I see a new one of those. I check it every day, and I can probably ride about 2 weeks in between those on the self-esteem that I get. I desperately need it. People, make me feel good about myself and this show. You can also call us, have your voicemail played on the air. That is 419-528-TDRK. You can be a fan of us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids. And if you like, throwing some scratch our way. We're getting big, and that means the bandwidth costs are rising. And that is duckfeed.tv/donate. And the other one you can do is duckfeed.tv/contact, where you can fill out a little easy-to-use form and send us a message, you know, that we can read on the air. You can suggest stories, all of that. Am I missing anything, Chris?
No, I think you covered it all.
I ran the waterfront.
Yeah.
Most of all, I think you can tell your friends, and just stay tuned, because we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here for a while, despite all the enmity that you're sensing between us right now. Us being me and Chris, not me and you. I'm cool with you. But that is it. My name is Cole.
I am Chris.
And I bid you good night, or good morning, or good afternoon, depending on what time you're listening to this.
I see your time of day, and I raise you a goodbye.